Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Prozy's Corner. We are two BFFs coming together every Saturday to uplift, to elevate, to motivate, and to just talk to each other. I am your co-host, Nikki W., and your host, Mara Prost. Mara? Mara, can you hear me?
Yes. You can't hear me?
Gotcha. Yeah, no, now I can.
Oh, I was answering the whole time. Sorry. Happy Saturday, everybody. Typical Mara moment. Okay, Mara Pros moment. Who knows what happened, but yeah, I am here. I was saying that, you know, we're here to inspire as well. We have some very inspirational people coming on today, right, Nick?
Yes,
I think
we really do.
Yeah, we do. It's going to be a really fun, relatable show. Let's see. We'll do some, I guess, some brief updates, huh, Nick? Because we don't have too much
about
changing.
The book. And,
Yeah. So I can't say the names, but Nikki and I are currently reviewing three publishing proposals. And I will still own the rights. But you know what? It will take all of that headache that I've had getting the Davenports to where they need to be and the Journey to Mara Pros where it needs to be. So this is really exciting news that publishers are reaching out to me now. So we'll keep you updated. We'll have more news on that probably the next show. And then Mara Pros Mondays are coming back. There's so many people that I talk to and friends and family and stuff, and every time I talk, it seems like what's been coming up lately is what happened to the inspirational Mondays? What happened to the blogs on Monday? So I decided, you know what, that really meant a lot to people. Let me start it again. So this Monday, I will have an inspirational blog, and I promise to stay on top of Mara Pros Monday.
Yes. And you won't have to do all the rest of the week like you were trying to do. I think you just overwhelmed yourself trying to do so many of the different days and the book and everything else. So
I did.
You're all into
typical me. Yeah, you know, I have to do too much, then learn, and then pull back. You know, that's how it goes.
Yeah. Deep breath.
So you want to introduce our first guest?
Yes, I'm so excited. I didn't know much about our first guest, but as I read and Googled, she has an amazing story from addiction to recovery, and this testimony that she's about to talk about, two books that she's written in this whole process. So Blossom Rogers, welcome to the show.
Hi, girl. What's going on, y'all too?
Hey, we're so happy to have you.
I know.
Girl, I am not the one to gossip, but God is good. And before we go any further, my name is Blossom. Not no Miss, not no Blossom Rogers. My name is just Blossom, because friends call each other by their first name.
Okay.
And I consider you two friends, okay?
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. And how are y'all doing today?
You're good.
We're doing fantastic.
Amen. So, like I said, I'm not the one to gossip, but I like to spread the gospel, the good news of the Lord, the one that woke us up this morning. And when y'all get to know me more and more, I like to laugh and have a good time. Because you know what? Being out in the streets for so long and beat up and everything, when God brought me in, he gave me laughter. So if that's okay mm-hmm. with y'all, I guess I'm going to tell my story. But I did a lot of funny things out there. So I just want y'all to know it's okay to laugh, because I know you're laughing with me. And I want the guests to really hear me very well. You need to know what kind of laughter you're dealing with. Are they laughing with you or at you? So today I know that God has blessed me and is blessing me on this show today. You're going to be laughing with me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So my name is Blossom, grateful recovering addict. For 19 years, I smoked crack cocaine. And let everybody know, I liked everything about it. I just didn't like the consequences. And when you can get real with yourself, you can get real with anybody else. So, like I said, we got so many people that are out there suffering, that went through things that I went through. So I thank God that he's raised me up for such a time as this, to not put that pride down and just to let people know if he delivered me, he could deliver anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If my pictures on my Facebook, I have dreads. So my dreads represent, you know, you have a lot of people growing dreads, but you're supposed to have a meaning behind them. My meaning with my dreads is I haven't smoked no crack, drunk no beer, or combed my hair in 14 years. God blessed me with 14 years clean. Now, don't get me wrong, ladies. I do cover up my wisdom around the edges, because you don't let everybody know how smart you are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's what my dreads represent. God has blessed me. I'm the author of three books. Book number one is called From Under a Bridge. The second mm-hmm. book is called From Under a Bridge 2. And my third book is called And They Laugh. Because, you know, you're going to have people laugh at you. But just like I said a few minutes ago, find out what laughter you're dealing with. Are they laughing with you or at you? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Book number one tells you what led me to smoking crack cocaine. Now, I turned 52 years young in January. So back in my days, you know, we couldn't talk about molestation. It's two things that people don't like to talk about. That's molestation and mental illness. And God has blessed me and brought me out of both of them. You know what I'm saying? In book one, I talk about how I went through molestation. And you have to, how God helped me with that. For 19 years, I was trying to defend and prove that these things had happened to me. But nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody, you know, I was a town crier. I got molested. Woe is me, you know. You could sing that song for so long to people don't even want to hear it no more. But God had to teach me how to forgive my abuser, because hurt people hurt other people. And I've been taught that something had to have happened to that person in order to inflict that on me. That's how God has helped me to deal with it.
Right.
Then God had to teach me how to forgive myself, because I did some things out there that I was not raised to do. So in book one, I talk about the molestation. Book one, I talk about how I got pregnant at an early age. I was an unfit mother, but my great-grandmother and my mother, they stepped in and raised my boys. I also talk about how I got married at an early age, and then how I end up with a guy who was on crack. And I don't know why we think we could change somebody when we can only change ourselves. I'm throwing that out there, too. If you're trying to change somebody, you want this person to be like you, and you keep getting frustrated, well, then you need to take your hand off the situation. When you can change yourself, and you can't do that without God's help. Book number two, I talk about how I've been to prison. My prison number is 589931. I talk about how God delivered me from the homosexual lifestyle, because by me being molested and raped by men, I thought going with a woman was better. And I tell everybody we need to start talking about that. Stop trying to brush it up under the rug, because that spirit is trying to take over our generation. We're not born like that. I'm not knocking anybody, because it took God to deliver me from it. Because I was so strung out with it. If I could have, back in them days, I would have married her. And if it all started back from, you know, with my molestation. You know, you just have to realize when you see somebody who has really just gone, if they were born a boy and they really look like a woman, they went through something tragic for them to even transform like that. So we have to don't hate them, hate the sin, but show them compassion. Talk to them. Don't beat them up, you know what I'm saying, because the forbidden fruit going to make you want to eat it more. So like I said, God had to take that from me. Then I talk about in book number 2 how I had a man to leave me for a man. And, y'all, this brother was fine as all I dole, I'm telling you. He left me for a man that looked, you know, when Gilligan was rescued off the island after all them years, he left me for a man that looked like that. So, of course, you know, my self-esteem went down. So I used a lot of things to cover up the hurt, you know what I'm saying? The more hurt, the more crack I smoked. The more hurt, the more crack I smoked. Because I had to put drugs, alcohol, women, men, everything before myself, before my God, before my children. You know, that the crack had became my God, you know what I'm saying? Then I talk about how I was out there in the streets, and if you look at the cover of my book, it's a 1993 dynasty, and that's where I used to sleep in, under a bridge. And I, you know what, I used to always blame everybody for me sleeping under that bridge in the back seat of the car. But you know what, I made my bed hard, so I had to lay in it. You know, right. People used to, you know, try to look out the window, and they say, oh, here comes Mary. They'd be so happy to see that person. But when they looked out the window and saw me, they said, oh, here comes Blossom. They would pick their whole house up and move, because I was one of them drunk. And I'm being honest, girl. I came up from the crib and smelled like hot buttermilk, because I didn't like water and water didn't like me. You understand what I'm saying? I was one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, on Friday, they said, bye, Felicia. That was me.
Right.
Hot me, let me drive your car. They looking at me like, girl, what is you going through? But you know, when you got so much hurt inside, and like I said, you know, you just have to, you got to ask God to help you. You can't do this on your own. And my addiction might not be your addiction. We have different types of addiction. So when you realize that something is taking over, it could be your job, it could be loving somebody too hard, it could be anything. But when you allow it to start becoming your God, then you got something serious going on. God had blessed me. I had joined the church, you know, because I was in and out, jails, rehab, you know, jails and rehab. And I tell a lot of people, jail saved my life many a time. You know, I think I had got institutionalized at one time, you know. So God blessed me. This one time I was sitting in, I had joined the church, but I backslid. And you know what kills me at times? We be talking about when I found Jesus. Jesus was never lost. I was the one that was lost. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
No matter where I made my bed, God was always with me. He always was a keeper. When I let go, he still held on to me. And that's why I thank God about him. Because you do something wrong with them, they don't want to have nothing to do with you. But God, there's nothing we can do that can stop him from loving us. And I thank God for that. So when I had backslid, I got back on the drugs and got back with this guy, you know, one guy, and I was just trying to find love in all the wrong places. Let me back up a little bit. God has even delivered me from a man who was HIV positive. Never told me that he was HIV positive, but I'm here to tell you, the God that I serve, I don't have AIDS nor HIV. And unfortunately, he passed away 7 years ago due to complications. And I have people saying, girl, your immune system was so strong. No, that was the blood of Jesus that covered me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why some people try to find science in everything when they're dealing with God. God is just who he is. So I want to put that out there. And then I was sitting in this crack house in Daytona, and I have been smoking, y'all. I had been up for about 2 weeks, and I was just tired. My eyelashes, the ones I did have, they was even tired. And I remember the young lady came into the kitchen, and I remember her saying, give me another piece of crack. And one thing about God, gifts without repentance, that's the kind of God we serve. And I was sitting there, and I still had the shirt, the shoes, and the purse I had on that night when God called me out the crack house. I had a piece of paper in that purse, and I remember I started writing God a letter. You have a lot of people say, girl, you were smoking crack and writing God. Yeah, because that's letting you know God was still in control. No matter what we do, he still is in control. So I would take a hit, write God. Take another hit, write God. Take another hit. And I remember the girl came in the kitchen. And I remember I said, the next time you see me, I'll be clean and sober. And she laughed. I said, okay. I took another hit, and I remember writing that last word on that piece of paper. And I put that paper in my purse. And I put that purse on my shoulder like mother did, and I walked out that crack house. And my car was overheating that night. Y'all, it was about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, driving down dark road in Daytona Beach. And I was just crying. I was just tired. And a lot of people, unless we get sick and tired of being sick and tired, that goes with anything, with jobs. You get sick of this. You want to do something to better yourself. You know what I'm saying? Don't always get around people who talk about, I'm fitna. First of all, how you spell fitna? I'm fitting to do this. I'm fitting to do that. You know, either you're going to barbecue a meal, dude. And I guess I was just so tired of being sick and tired. So that night, God bless it, I put the car up in the parking lot. To this day, I don't know where the car is. But that car was a safe haven, because many nights when I put that car up under that bridge and I got in the back seat and slept, I slept peacefully. Nobody bothered me. And this park that I slept in, it was people out there 24/7. Nobody ever bothered me. God, he's a keeper, y'all. I want y'all to know that he is a keeper. So back to the story. I remember checking myself in, and the lady was getting ready to do my intake. And she said, Blossom, are you willing to be relocated? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, don't let me go. Because, y'all, I had to start a robbing. I had to was driving a getaway car, doing silly stuff. Either I was going to kill somebody or somebody was going to kill me. So God bless her. It seemed like she was gone about an hour, but she was gone 20 minutes, and she said, Blossom, we found your player. Now, God bless her, he sent me to Miami to treatment. You know what I'm saying? I have a friend back in my hometown who was able to get clean and sober in our hometown, but you have to do what's best for you. You can't do what Sister So-and-so do. Do what's best for you. And God bless me, I stayed down there. I didn't go back around to people, places, and things. God bless me, I was able to go back to school, get my high school diploma. Then, God bless me, I was able to go to college, so I'm a national certified medical assistant. And then, God bless me, I got married again. We moved here to Alabama, and this is my ex-husband's hometown. That's why I'm saying ex-husband, because regardless of me being clean and sober, you're still going to have life issues. I don't say problems. I say issues, because just like the woman that had the issue of blood, when she touched the hem of the garment, it dried up. So as long as we continue to touch the hem, as long as we continue to call on Jesus, he will take care of our issues. And I'm just putting it out there for somebody. When you might be going through something, it's an issue. It's not a problem. So we got a divorce due to love. And people say love. I said, yes, he loved talking to other women and brought another woman in my home. But God, I didn't go back to getting high. I used to get high if a bird got hit. Bird dead, let's go get high. But this time, I wanted to stay clean and sober. Now, I cried out to the Lord. I cried because I was always that one. I don't care what city I went to or what state I went to. I was always ended up in a crack house. I said, the devil is a lie. I'm not going back. So God bless me, we went through the divorce. Now, we're good friends. But my grandma always taught me, once you chew gum, you can't throw that gum on the ground and pick it back up and think it's going to have the same taste. So he's where he is, and I'm right where I'm at. Good friends, though. Then God bless me, I was able to start purchasing a home when we were together. But unfortunately, I lost that due to foreclosure because after the divorce. But God, I didn't go back to getting high. Then God had touched the bank hard. They gave me relocation money, so I'm in the house where I am now. And I was walking around praising the Lord because T.D. Jakes had them preach the veil down. Open up the front door, my car was gone. But God, I didn't go back to getting high. So you're still going to have life issues, but you don't have to go back to what made you have your problem. So God bless me. I started the books in 2010. So they've been out for 8 years. My third book has been out for 4 years. But God bless me. I've always wanted to have a home for women that want to stay clean and sober. Because if we don't have a safe place to go, we'll go back to the people, places, and things. So God bless me. 2 years ago, I went before Habitat. And I told him my dream, told him my testimony and everything. And we was laughing, and I just told him, I said, she said, well, Blossom, when you get your papers, you know, you just let us know. Well, God bless the University of Alabama, their law firm, they did my paperwork for me. So I'm a nonprofit organization. It's called From Under a Bridge, Safe Haven Home for Women. So I was calling her just to let her know, to touch bases with her. She said, oh, Blossom, I forgot to tell you. So I'm thinking, oh, Lord, here we go. She said, we have a piece of land that we'll never use, so we're going to give you that. And, y'all, I was so stuck. I was stuck there with my mouth wide open. I said, who give land to an ex-crackhead? That's the God we serve, you know. So God bless me. I have my land. I have my blueprint. I have my building permit. I've been approved by God in the city. We get to house 6 women. And now I'm working with the organization that told me if I raise $40,000 that they'll build the whole house for me. So this house will be for women that want to stay and get clean and sober. They'll be there from 6 months to a year, you know, help them get in jobs, go back to school. Because we have to be taught how to do things, you know. And then I'm not the one to gossip, but, you know, God has blessed me, 14 months ago, I've gotten a movie deal. So Empire, y'all better look out. We're in pre-production right now, and I'm excited because some of the production. Yeah, girl, wait till I put that girl on and walk down that red carpet. I'm going to be smiling, you know, so I'm excited because who would have thought about doing a movie on my life story? So God has blessed me with a powerful team. One of them, my producers, is Fantice Gossett. Louis Gossett Jr.'s son, you know, and my screenplay writer, Shanette Wiggins, Anthony D. It's just truly, truly a blessing. So, like I said, we're in the pre-production stage right now, and God is just good. He, no matter what, so I want the listeners to know, don't give up on your dreams. I don't care if you can draw eyebrows good. Be the best at it. Don't let nobody tell you what you can't do. And don't worry about who don't like you, because half of them don't like themselves. So by them being depressed, they want to keep you depressed. I'm not going to say we don't go through stuff, because we're going to go through stuff. But it depends on how we go through. Are we going through talking about, oh, woe is me? No, we have to say, yesterday I went through something. I had got accused of something, and I knew I didn't do it. And I had to remember. I had to remember that the woman of God had given me a powerful word the night before. You know, she was saying strength and perseverance. But when I seen the hand of God moving yesterday in the situation, the people that was doing the investigation, they was, God had them where they was taking up for me. So I said, okay, all is well. So all of a sudden they said, Blossom, okay, we'll see you. Go back to work. And I had to cry. And don't get me wrong. We go through stuff, and it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. God is just good no matter what. And he's going to catch each one of our tears, and that's how he's going to water our blessings. So y'all just continue to believe in God, believe in yourself. Don't let nobody tell you what you can't do, because you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And that is Blossom, ladies.
That's amazing.
Wow.
You know, I know. It's just mind-blowing how far you have come. And, you know, I always, when I speak to people who are going through things, you never know where God is going to take you. And it's awesome when you do find your purpose with him and he just starts taking you. I mean, look at the direction you've gone in. You've got books. You've got a movie coming out. I mean, it's amazing. And then you think about how far you've come. Blossom, that is really, really amazing. I have to say, we are so proud of you. That is wonderful. We wish you nothing but the best. Please tell everybody where they can get your books, too, so they can read.
Amen. They can go to Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Send me a free request, Blossom Rogers. Check out, God's blessing with a powerful website, Blossom Rogers Weebly, WeebLy.com. You can call me at 305-753-8164 or send me an email, BLOS2White, WHITE, at yahoo.com.
Awesome. Awesome. I will have to check out all of your books, definitely. Me and Nikki will do our own little book club on that.
Thank you so much. And if y'all would keep us in prayer when it comes to this, getting this house built, you know, I've had a lot of people, you know, say yes, No. And I'm not going to say I don't get a little discouraged, but I have to continue to believe what God spoke to me that night when he told me to start here. So like I said, from under a bridge, safe haven home for women shall be. Not in my timing, but it's going to be in God's timing.
Right.
The article that I read, it said it was going to house three women. Is that still the case? Or
well, no, God shall be favored. When I went before the zoning committee, God shall be favored. The girl, they put it where they was like, Boston, we're going to put you in this zone. And I didn't know, girl, I'm sitting there. I didn't know what they was talking about because they were using them big words. I said, oh, Lord, I hope they would. Lord, just help me. Well, what they was doing was, and it was three guys. It was three guys in this meeting, this first meeting. They were saying, well, we're going to put it in this kind of zone. Since, God bless, we get to house six women instead of three women. So it'd be two women, two rooms. Yeah.
And they'll have to
so
be there for 6 months to a year.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. And then my second house, like I said, I want to, my dream is to travel the world telling my story. My dream is to have houses all over the world because there's so many people
mm-hmm.
going through. Now, God hasn't told me to deal with men, but if he say so, then that'll be. But I'm talking about women, and I want women to hear me today. Come from up under your bridge. Walk over your bridge to your dreams because he did it for me. He brought me from
mm-hmm.
under a
right.
bridge.
Right.
Amazing. We always have such
mm-hmm.
amazing guests with stories, and that's what I said. You know, you never knew who you're going to meet. You never know where life is going to take you. It's just one amazing journey. I mean, even that's why I did the Journey to Mara Pros, because Nikki has been with me for 31 years. We probably can all my life pretty much, and it's seeing how far I've come. You know, she's involved with every little step that I take from when I first started talking about I wanted to start a blog to where we are now. And people are reaching out to me to write scripts for them and, you know, be a ghostwriter. It's just, you can't say anything but God is good.
Right.
Amen.
It's a day-by-day thing, you know, just live for today and just move forward slowly. That's what I tell her all the time.
Mm-hmm. She does. Because life will try to drag you down at times. So I'm so glad that I have such a positive best friend. And he says, okay, we're going to see the positive in this. I mean, Nikki can find the positive in anybody, anything, I'm telling you. You can
and
be
I
on,
honestly don't know where that came from. I don't know how I got so positive, but, hey, I just roll with it.
It is different from when you were younger, but you never were Miss Negativity, though. But no, but she is all about the positive now, and that's great. I'm still just digesting all of your story, Blossom. I mean, that's just there's just so much. You know, you'll have to come back too and update us, keep us up and date.
I sure
the movie.
Will.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And may God show y'all favor for even allowing me to come on and share this platform. May God bless you both.
Oh,
well,
thank you. Yes. So any last questions, Nick?
No last questions on my end. you just have to come back and tell us when your movie's coming out so we can fly out to your premiere. If you have another book coming out, you have to, you know, keep us informed. Tag us in some stuff. We'll share it with other people.
Yes.
Now that we're friends
surely
on Facebook,
will.
Definitely can share it.
Amen. Amen. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you so much,
coming.
Blossom.
Yeah.
Y'all have blessed
you.
You
too.
Too.
Wow, Nikki. We know, our guests, but we don't know how in-depth. I mean, when you say testimony, I mean, really, how many tests she's been through is like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
Kind of like being on a roller coaster there.
Yeah. I mean, 19 years, my gosh.
Yeah.
Or
amazing.
No, is it 19 years or 20-something years? But still.
Yeah,
14 years clean, so.
Mhm. And you know that's and it coming at like a right time too. That because you know, like Demi Lovato. I mean, you read about relapsing and stuff. I mean, people need support. They don't. They do. There's possibility of that she's gone that long without you know going backwards.
Yeah, people don't realize the relapse is real, and instead of judging people and poking fun, they need to be there and be that person's support system. If you know them, be there for them. Because it might be that one time that you don't go, that's when it all break loose.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. So now the rest of our show is the stuff that we is even more fun stuff, I guess. but stuff that everybody loves to talk about, relationships. So we have, I don't think Jeffrey's called in yet. But
not yet, in about 4 minutes, I think.
Okay. You want to tell a little bit about him, Nick, or do you have his?
I don't have his.
Well, Jeffrey has his own talk show, radio show. It's Talk with Jeffrey. It's on every Saturday. I think it's 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern time. He's in Atlanta. He has a lot of variety of different guests. He will tell you, too, he's another one that just sort of called to him. And it's just amazing how he said it just comes so naturally to him. And you would think that he had set out and had been doing this all his life, but he actually has just recently come to the industry. And the show is very enjoyable.
I think I listened to it. I mean, I watched it once or twice when you've tagged me in it to watch it. I've watched it.
Yeah, because they have, you know, they talk about current events. And I like the one where, you know, they were asking, like, who should pay, the man or the woman.
Oh, yeah.
They talk about current events, too. Remember when Kanye and his support of Donald Trump and he's put out some crazy Twitter. I don't even remember what it was. But I'm saying that his show is very fascinating. It's very fast paced as well, and it's just interesting to watch him. I try to watch him every Saturday, so I can't wait for him to come on.
Yeah, because his show is different than ours. He's in a studio and on like Facebook Live, is it? Or is
it's
it
Facebook
streamed? Yeah.
Well, I think, and we'll confirm when he gets on the line. But I think now it's being streamed. I think it started being Facebook Live, but I noticed that it was a little different last weekend, and it looks like it's being streamed. Mm-hmm. Something that we're going to have to start doing.
Look, I don't know if we're ready to be streamed.
Well,
are we ready to be streamed?
Y'all can't hear me, and
I know, right?
Yes. Oh, I wanted to give a brief shout out to my Grant Johnson family. This weekend is our family reunion. I wish I could be there with you all, but circumstances are otherwise. So I want you all to enjoy it. Stay cool. Stay hydrated. I love all of you. Have a great time. I'm looking forward to the pictures.
They're in South Carolina, right?
Yeah, they're in New Orleans. They're in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
They traveled from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Got to be hot there.
Darnell is going to come back on the show maybe next show. His cigar company has officially launched. He's still working on.
That's so exciting.
I know, it's very exciting. He's still working on getting the website up. Things are taking a little longer than he anticipated, but he will be coming on and giving us an update, doing a little plug for his company. So we wanted to give a shout out to him and say, well done, Darnell. We are supporting you, and we look forward to hearing more.
And taking those trips. You know, when he has those trips he talked about pairing cigars with whatever, your environment or with wine or, yeah.
Right.
We'll do a pairing cigars with book time, and we'll be reading with cigars.
That's what we'll do. Exactly. Yeah, so we have a lot of great things coming up. I mean,
we do.
Even like I said, with Mara Pros and the changes that we have, you know, it's so exciting that people, I have so many people that add me on Facebook and they are coming across the book on Kindle Unlimited, which is great.
That's
I
great.
Love it. Yeah, and they're saying it really resonated with them and stuff. So my friends list, I think, has gone from like 1,000 to almost 3,000 now. And the majority of those people are because they're finding my poetry and my book. So
right.
Amazon has been good at that, and it'll be nice to take it next level with one of the publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yeah.
get out even more mainstream. That's going to be amazing. So I'm looking forward to that.
The funny thing is, some of the people that friend you, they friend me, and I'm like, who is this? And we always have one mutual friend. I'm like, oh, my goodness, do I trust this? Do I accept?
It is,
so
you know, you do have to be careful. I will say that, I mean, because I've made my account public. And I made my Instagram public. You know, you get the good and the bad. I told you what happened earlier this week. I mean,
yeah, you did.
You know, the guy reached out and supposedly about writing, and then, you know, I get sent an unnecessary picture.
Right.
So had to immediately block. So.
Or asking for money.
Yeah. Or asking for money. Yeah, very interesting. Or they want to date me and marry me. You get that a lot. But thankfully that most of the people are interested in my writing and my work, and that's how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That is Jeffrey. I guess that's the positive. I think that's Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Let's see. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, how are
Welcome
you?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you for joining us. You having a good
My
weekend
pleasure.
So far?
Busy, 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 but we're making it happen.
That's good. So we told them a little bit about you, but we're going to let you speak, Jeffrey, and tell them more about your show, how you got started, where you're going with the show. So you have the floor.
And then you were going to talk about relationships briefly.
Oh, and yes, then you were going to talk about relationships. Mm-hmm.
So no worries. I do a show on Saturdays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. called Let's Talk About It Live with Jeffrey L. Miller on Instinct Radio. I'm sorry, on I just moved to a different station. So I'm on Manifest TV now. It's a part of the Status Network. And my show basically talks about anything from politics to community to relationships and current events. I've been doing the show over a year, and it really just, you know, started with me appearing on someone else's show a couple of times, and they asked me to do a segment, and I started looking at it. I'm like, you know what, I can do this. And I just spun off into my own show, so that's how I got started with everything right there.
That's great. That's what
mm-hmm.
I had mentioned, that it's just something that just naturally comes to you, because your show, to me, is so interesting. You keep the pace very well. I mean, you talk about all sorts of subjects, and you have amazing guests on there that are very interesting. I was supposed to be on there until I overslept, but I'm coming.
No worries.
You're sick during that time, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know?
When I was in Atlanta,
she was sick during that time.
I got sick, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to lay down for a few minutes. I've got to get over to the studio, and next thing I knew, I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's live. So, that trip wasn't all that great. I didn't get to meet up with anybody that I was supposed to, so I definitely, and this time Nikki will be with me when I come back to ATL. So we'll have to meet up.
Yeah, but then that trip ended up turning into a work trip, so that threw everything off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Understood.
Busy, always.
So tell us
about relationships.
Tell us your top three reasons some men and women are single.
Yes. Now, this is a part of the show that I do. It's called Close Your Mouth and Listen. And talking about relationships, a lot of times people really just need to focus on the listening part to improve the relationship. So I have a list really of about 30 reasons why some women are habitually single and about 28 reasons right now why some men are habitually single. I go over the top three for each. Now, of course, ladies, you go first. Number three. I'm always start with speaking on the ladies first, and then we'll go to the men, and we'll alternate. So number three for the women is you are manifesting your list, meaning you have this list of qualifications and must-haves and gotta-haves, and you're actually attracting that person to you. But what you fail to realize is that your list isn't compatible with what really makes you happy. So you say you want the guy that's bald and dark skin, and you get the guy that's bald and dark skin, but he doesn't fit. You break up. Or you want the guy that makes six figures, but he comes around and he's too controlling for you. Or you want the guy that has a lot of ambition, but he doesn't have the time for you. You're manifesting your list. What you have to focus on is finding the person that makes you happy, because people can meet your standards and never live up to your expectations. I said it backwards. People can meet your expectations and never live up to your standards. And that's the part where there are some women who find the man of their dreams on that piece of paper isn't the man for them in reality. So that's reason number three why some women are habitually single.
Wow. I agree with that, though.
I agree with that. But, we talk about this all the time.
We
don't
do.
It's not about what they have a lot of times.
But it's so ingrained in us. You know, if you think about us growing up and what our moms told us and our grandmothers and stuff, it's like become habitual, actually. Okay, this is what I want. This is what I'm not going to accept and everything else. And you do. It's hard, Jeffrey, just to go with the flow. You know, you've got so many people coming at you. It's how do you do that then? I mean, if you don't have a list, do you just, I'm guessing you just see who you vibe with? Is that what you're saying?
The number one thing that you can do in that instance is to lower expectations. You know, in dating, I found that sometimes women's expectations lead them to want to jump and get super serious after the third date. And the third date, you just don't have enough data on me to say you want to be serious with me. I know, you know, women love to say they got intuition, and, you know, I'm not a bad person. I want to know more about you. So three dates in is not the time for you to be emotionally vested in any person, not three dates in. What you do, you begin to do, you start to assess. Okay, these have been three good dates. Let's assess where we are. Okay, so it looks like this person can be consistent. So you verify, you trust, but you verify that they really are consistent. And once they meet that checklist, okay, I see how they operate. And then you just keep going, and as they build and they earn it, that's when you give it. Don't give it all up front. As they earn it, that's when you give it.
That's right. And it does seem like in this dating thing, everything is like on fast forward. I was telling Nikki that, going back to people who add me on Facebook, some are for my writing, some are trying to, you know, offer dates. And there was this one, I mean, he had just added me as a friend, and then he started talking out about my writing. And then the next thing you know, he was talking about that, you know, my house is his house and that I'm going to be his wife, and just acting like we were an old married couple. I just had to block him. That stuff, that's creepy. So I agree there. Please slow down, get to know each other. I don't think there's any big rush. Even at three dates, for me, I don't think I'd be really assessing anything at three dates. I think we're enjoying each other, and let's just see how things go.
Right.
Agreed.
Same here.
Agreed.
Uh-uh.
So number three for the men. Number three. A lot of men are habitually single because they do not understand the difference between dating and courtship. You know, it's easy to take a woman out to eat, you know, to a movie, you know, or even to the park. That part is easy.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing in dating is you're establishing whether or not she's worthy of you pursuing her in a serious, committed, monogamous relationship. And for the men as well, there's a point of trusting and verifying, making sure that
mm-hmm.
you two fit. So in the beginning, no man should be doing extravagant dates. No man should be doing
right.
trips. No man should be doing, you know, expensive dinners. What should happen is everything should be simple. It should be an environment mm-hmm. that lends to clear and effective communication. And then once mm-hmm. you two decide that, okay, we're good on that, then you begin to treat her in courtship with relationship treatment. Relationship
right.
treatment are the more expensive dinners and the trips and considerations like that. And even during courtship, you don't give her everything. You save your absolute best for the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of men start with marriage-level actions. And then as the relationship matures, they don't have anywhere else to go. And the woman's
mm-hmm.
certainly not going to go back. She's not going to accept, you know, less than what you gave her in the beginning.
Right.
So men have to recalibrate and understand that dating is just dating. We're getting to know each other. Courtship is where I'm beginning to invest emotional energy and time with you. And then the marriage is where you get everything that I have and not
mm-hmm.
the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that totally.
Yeah.
All right, number two for the women.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of women out there, I'll say too many women out there, that are falling in love with feminism more than they're falling in love with family. Now, I need everybody to understand me real clearly. Of course, a woman should be paid just as much as a man for the same amount of work. Of course, women are equally as blessed and anointed as men are. The difference is men and women are not equal. Men and women are designed to balance each other. There are some things that if a woman wanted to do it just like a man, she would actually be downgrading herself. Instead of trying to emulate some of the worst attributes of some of the worst men out there, I believe that
mm-hmm.
women have to focus on their feminine nature and being the best woman she can possibly be, not being the best woman acting like the worst man she could be. When a woman realizes that femininity is about feminine independence more so
mm-hmm.
than feminine interdependence within a fruitful relationship, the more that woman will see that this could possibly lead me down the long road. Again, I'll say for the record, of course a woman should be paid equal for the same amount of work, for the same title. Of course a woman is just as blessed and gifted and anointed. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
mm-hmm.
that you are so feminist that you've forgotten the key component of family.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that a lot. And, you know, also we get put into the category. We had this on another call, remember, Nikki, where I was saying
mm-hmm.
you're seen as successful, then it's automatically assumed that you do have that mindset and that, you know, you're emasculating to a man.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't group us all together. Yeah, we have our goals or whatever else, but listen to what Jeffrey just said. It's spot
mm-hmm.
on. We're still, I don't want to be like, think like a man or act like
mm-hmm.
a woman or whatever it was. No. I think like me, I know what I bring to the table, and in life I want a partner. And then they
right.
bring their, they have to the table. It shouldn't be a competition. I don't want to act like a man. I love that, Jeffrey. Good point.
Very good.
Yeah. Number two. Really got you for a few minutes. So.
I'm gonna go real quick here. Number two for the men. A lot of men are habitually single because you just don't take care of your own kids. And what I mean by this is you're not responsible to the children that you have helped create, but you want to be stepfather of the year. Now, I would say and submit to any woman who is dating a man who is not taking care of his kids to look at the track record. If you're serious about your kids, There's nothing the mother of your children can do to stop you from seeing them. What you have to accept, though, is if she's protecting you from hurting the children, that's a whole different ballgame. If you promised to be somewhere and you didn't show up, and she had to be the one, the child, the boy, or the girl, for your misstep, I don't blame her for not letting you come by, because you don't do what you're supposed to do. I will also submit to you that if a man does what he's supposed to do, if he's consistent and he actually is a father to those children, there is no woman who's going to try to stop you from being involved in that child's life. And if there is a woman, I can guarantee you, once you go to the courts and legitimize yourself and enforce your rights, she can't stop you. If you want to be with your children, you will be. But too many times, men use the excuse of, she won't let me see my kids. No, that just means that you're not working hard enough to be able to go and get your kids.
Okay. Very true.
Now, the number one reason for women, I love to say this one right here because it always gets a real strong reaction. But the number one reason why some women are habitually single is because of your mouth. I need you to understand now, I'm not talking about the time that your man or your husband or your boyfriend didn't call when he was supposed to call, or he dropped the ball. Of course you're supposed to express your displeasure with that. If he's being disrespectful for you, of course, or to you, of course you're supposed to let him know you're not treating you right. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that always want to be right-ism, always got to have the last word-ism, that, that voice that becomes quarrelsome. Even the Bible says that it's better to live on the rooftop, on the corner of the rooftop of a house, than to live in a house with a quarrelsome woman. All I'm saying is, arguing for the sake of arguing, it won't get you anywhere. If the power of life and death lies in the tongue, ladies, I need you to understand just how important it is for you to build your man up. Because if you don't build him up and you are tearing him down, there was a song that came out a long time ago called The Cleanup Woman. She's going to come around and clean up that mess that you're making, and she's going to build that man up, and that man's going to leave you single.
That is so true. I totally agree with that one. We've seen that many times.
Absolutely. And it happens. It happens. It happens, unfortunately, but it does happen. And the number one reason for men why some men are habitually single is you're just not a builder. You don't bring anything to the table. As a matter of fact, you ain't even got no damn table. You don't even bring no shade to the relationship. You just come around trying to mooch off what the woman got. And that's how it works. When I say that you're not building anything, you're not creating an environment for that woman to thrive. So when you're not creating an environment for the woman to thrive, she can't pour into you because she's doing all the work. And if she can't pour into you, that's not going to refuel your ambition. So you're sitting there with low ambition, sitting on her couch, with no table that you didn't bring in there, and she's out doing all the work. No, she probably already has a kid. She'll need a grown man to be a child. She needs a man that can help build an environment that she can thrive in, because women are multipliers. So if you build the right type of environment, that woman will multiply your drive, your ambition, and your success. But if you don't build anything, she can't multiply anything. You multiply anything times zero, it will always be zero. And when she realizes and determines that you're not bringing anything to the relationship, well, she's just going to leave you single.
And that, you know, that can be applicable to females as well, too. You have to bring something to the table as well. Like you said in that list that they have, and I want him to make six figures and I want him to do that or whatever. Okay, those type of men have their list and their expectations as well. So that goes both ways.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, now, first of all, I want to thank you so much for having me on the show. I really hate to do this, but I'm working today, so I have to get back to training.
Thank you so much.
Next time I'll make sure I have more time to speak more in depth, and I won't have to come on and do it and then have to leave so quickly.
That's okay. We understand. Yeah. But we thank you.
We thank you and enjoyed having you.
Yeah. My pleasure. Looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Very interesting point. It's going to be interesting to hear what Jay has to say about those points
as
well. I
know, he's listening, so I know he probably has his own comments on that.
Yeah, you want to introduce him?
Let's show. Jay Thomas, he's a relationship strategist. He's an entrepreneur. He's a blogger. He's a writer. He's been on our show before. He doesn't consider himself as a relationship expert, but, you know, he used a different word at that time.
Yeah.
What did he say?
I don't know. What, strategist?
I don't remember the word. He didn't say strategist, but he said he was not a relationship expert. I do remember that.
Okay, he will remind us.
Yeah, he will. But he's here to talk to us today about three different topics relationship-wise, and we welcome him. Good morning, Jay.
Welcome, Jay.
Hey, ladies.
Welcome back.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me back on the show. And I said before, I wanted to catch up on what you guys just said. I say that I'm not an expert, I'm a strategist. So basically what it means is, you know, a lot of people out there coin themselves as experts, and I don't believe that you can truly be an expert at this. I believe that it's an evolving process, relationships. You have different people, different demographics, different walks of life, different experiences. So how can you truly be an expert at it? And so what I say is I'm a strategist, meaning I am someone who creates strategy, guidelines for someone to start with, or a baseline for you to work from, versus, you know, rules that are written in stone that you have to live by, you know, versus this is a strategy for you that you can manipulate, you can interpret, and you can customize for your relationship. But if you don't have that, or you're not sure in what direction you need to go, then this gives you some direction. And that's what I do. I give direction.
Okay. But I think
we all need direction.
We all need direction. And you expertly give those directions. That's what I say.
Oh man, she wants you to be an expert.
What has it been about 2 or 3 weeks, Jay? And I was telling you about getting back into the dating world, but it's exhausting. And you know, Jay immediately kicked into, you know, that strategist. Well, are you doing this? Are you putting yourself up? I was like, see. I mean, it just comes naturally to
you. You know, for me, you know, one of my, you know, my purpose in, you know, going back to the first time I was on the show, my purpose in life is to help others. My purpose in life is to sow seeds. So I'm not here for me. I'm here to help people. So I help people in lots of different capacities. Obviously, this is my passion. Relationships, dating, and love, but, you know, I help people in other capacities in terms of philanthropy, in terms of, you know, community awareness, cultural activities, anything that I can do to be able to sow seeds and grow community, grow people, build relationships, bridge the gap. So immediately when you start talking to me about something, I'm going to listen to you, and then I'm going to start to come up with strategy to try to help you either get through that process a little easier. And again, this is a strategy. So therefore, you have an opportunity to change it around as you wish. Or if it's another situation where you have, let's say, something in the community, I consider myself an innovator. I've been in corporate life a very long time. So one of my staples is my way to innovate. When I come into a business, I can take it from where it is and I can move it to the next level. And I do the same thing in the community.
Mm. That's great.
Yeah. So you ready to tell us?
Yeah. Educate us.
Most definitely.
Educate us on your three topics.
Well, you know, and I'll say this, that, you know, some of the things that I say, you may already know. So it may be a redundancy, so to speak. But I like to give my own personal spin. One of the things that I wanted to talk about is dating leadership for men and what a lot of men don't necessarily understand in terms of leadership just as a whole. So dating leadership for men or being passive aggressive, which is probably one of the things that I do not like that I see men do. So one of the, we're going to use the word issues. We're not going to use the word problems. As Blossom said, we're going to use issues, not problems. And is that men are passive, that some men are very passive, very hesitant, lack effort, lack depth, and they lack focus. I hear this from women, and I've also observed it myself. And what it is that we want to be the leader based on our genitalia. We want to be the leader just because we're men, just because we have a penis, versus our actual skill or our ability to be able to lead. Now, there's two different types of leadership. There's leadership of self and there's leadership of an individual. And when you have to learn, how to lead yourself before you can learn how to lead a woman. So you have to be able to, show and prove. So you can't just walk up to, especially a woman who has accomplished something in her life or a woman who has worked her tail off since she was a child, probably, you know, into a career and has become a leader in multifaceted ways. You can't just walk up to her and tell her you're going to lead her. You have to show her. And, you know, as men, one of the things that we struggle with is understanding manhood and what leadership really means. So I always ask people, so who taught us leadership? Who was our example? Our fathers? For some of us, it was our father, our grandfather, our uncle. But for a lot of us, there was no one there that looked like us that we could follow and learn from. So a lot of the stuff that we're doing, we do it willy-nilly or we have a very long learning curve, which is why you'll see some women who will be, you know, 25, 26, 27, and they'll be well into their careers and doing so great. And then you'll see guys, they won't reach that level until they're in their 30s. And that's because our learning curve is longer. We didn't have the examples that most women had. Women had grandmothers, mothers, aunties, you know, so on and so forth. A lot of times with us, we didn't have anybody. So, you know, we struggle to lead ourselves. Then we try to add a woman to the mix, and then we think we can lead her. So if you're struggling to lead with lead yourself and lead your life and direct your life, how are you going to lead a woman? How are you going to, you know, have that depth they're looking for? How are you going to have that focus they need? You know, and you're going to be hesitant. You're going to be unsure of yourself. The confidence isn't going to be there. And that's where the disconnect begins. And so for men, that's something that you have to cultivate. That's something that you have to develop. I struggled with it when I was probably between 22, 25 years old. I struggled with it myself. But I learned, I read, I observed, I paid attention. I wasn't prideful. And whenever someone would teach me something or tell me something or I observed something, I took it in and I cultivated it and turned it into something that worked for me. And that's why that's where you get Jay. That's where this comes from. So I don't ever like to parade myself as someone who's perfect because I definitely had my issues when I was younger. But I've evolved into this individual, and I want to share that with the men and the women out here to try to help them to turn the corner as well.
And I agree with that. I think a big part of it, too, is, you know, the way you mature. I know the way I think about relationships now to back when I was first got married so young at 22, it's totally different. And it would have been a totally different relationship now as opposed to the younger me. So I really do believe people need to have that level of maturity, not only within you, but you also need to mature in the relationship. Because sometimes the relationship never matures. You're just going through the motions, you know? So it's like you need to keep growing together, in my opinion. But I'm not the expert. Jay is. Jay's the strategist.
We're trying to make the expert call is over. And so the other thing I wanted to talk about is the difference between pursuit and action. But I wanted to jump really back really quickly on something that my guy Jeffrey said. And I love that guy, by the way. His show is very good. You know, whoever's listening, definitely check it out. I've been on his show before. And, you know, we definitely had a rapport. He's a great guy. He definitely has some great topics, you know, educated, well-articulated. Certain guys that when you meet them, or certain people when you meet them, you just like them right off the bat. They don't really have to do much, you know, just a quick conversation and you just like them. He is one of those people. And he mentioned during his quick piece about courtship versus dating. And that's a really big one for me. And it's part of my podcast as well. And so when he mentioned courtship versus dating, I kind of sat back and I said, okay, what you got to say, Jeffrey? And it's a big topic for me simply because a lot of people don't even understand what courtship is. Like, everybody knows what dating is, but people kind of blend them together. They blend them. Like, courtship and dating are kind of the same thing. Necessarily say that, but that's what they're doing. They're blending them. And they don't really understand the roles that two people play in a true courtship. And in a true courtship, people are pursuing each other. But if you were to just ask people, they would say, oh, well, the man pursues the woman, he courts me. And that's not true. The real definition of courtship is a journey towards God to use God's leadership for your relationship, and the end result will be marriage. That's what courtship is. So it's a process, and it's a pretty deep process, and I actually talked about that on my blog and on my podcast. So, you know, you can go into more detail if you want to know what it actually means. You can just go to my website, relationshipsetc.com, and I detail it. I don't want to go too deep on that, but just know that the process isn't what a lot of people think it is. And what I said is you have to determine which one you actually want to do. So you can't do both because they're totally different. So you have to date if that's what you want to do, if that's been working for you, or you have to go through a course. Those are two totally different things, and people have to figure out what the difference is and find out if that's a good fit for them. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about is the difference between pursuit and action. Earlier this week, I was talking to my Facebook family, and a lot of the women were saying that they don't want to pursue a man, and I totally agree with that, nor should you. But when it comes to initiating contact with a man, a lot of women don't like doing that. And that is obvious because men have been the aggressors over the years. So what do you do? I'm asking you ladies this. What do you do when you see the man first? He hasn't even seen you. You've been observing him in the room, how he, you know, he works the room, you see his energy, and you start feeling him a little bit. He hasn't seen you. What do you do?
Go ahead, Nikki. Tell us what you do.
I'm not shy at all. I'll go right over there and introduce myself and start talking, start a conversation, you know. That's what I would do.
Yeah, we're both the same in that. I mean, we have no problem.
I mean,
if you see somebody, you know, I don't believe that it's just going to fall out of the sky into my lap. You do get a lot of attention, but, you know, we get a lot of the wrong attention. And if there's somebody that I'm interested in, I don't want to miss that chance. So we're talkers anyway. So just go up, start a conversation. I mean, what's the worst can happen? You know, nothing comes of it. We haven't lost anything.
Yeah. I always say you just got a new friend. You've met somebody new.
And you're right, and there's obviously a percentage of women that have zero problem with approaching a man, and you know, introducing themselves and sparking a conversation. But what I've noticed is there's a much bigger percentage of women that do not like to do it, are shy, uncomfortable, or they just feel like that's pursuit. They feel like that is pursuing a man. And I'm here to tell you that's pursuit. Pursuit doesn't even occur that quickly. It doesn't occur when you two haven't even spoken to each other yet. So pursuit is something that occurs later on in the process. This is just an introduction. This is just action. This is just you showing interest in that man. So a woman, if you see a man first, you go up to that man, you speak to that man. If it's on social media, you inbox that man, you introduce yourself, however you want to do that. And if he engages you in conversation and you guys are feeling a vibe, he is either going to do what? A, ask for your phone number, or B, you're going to offer him your phone number. And, you know, it may not happen. On social media, It may not happen in that first conversation. It may take days, weeks before the phone number gets offered. But during that time, you two are building, you're learning each other.
Mm-hmm.
And once you established that you want to take the conversation offline, then take it offline. And then at that point, that's when his masculine energy kicks in. And if he has that leadership ability, which every woman wants, then guess what he's going to do? He's going to start talking to you, he's going to start calling you, and he's going to start planning that first date. And you don't even have to tell
mm-hmm.
him. He's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a man who has a strong masculine energy, that leadership ability, he's going to do that. He's going to say, okay, we've been talking for 3 weeks now, and I would love to meet you. I would love to see you. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to meet me at such and such date. Or, you know, he'll ask you what's available, when you have availability, and he will plan the date accordingly based on your availability. That's
mm-hmm.
pursuit, right? That's him now pursuing you, and then you return that back to him with your feminine energy, and you say, hey,
right.
you know what? Do it. And that's when the pursuit starts. Now you two are pursuing each other versus
mm-hmm.
a man chasing after you, which, if you've noticed, a lot of men are revolting against that. A lot of guys
mm-hmm.
are like, we don't want to do that anymore. We need you to come over and meet us in the middle now versus us
right.
just going after you, you know, wasting our time. You know, it's been 3 months, and then you turn around and say you just want to be friends. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of guys are just like, look, just meet me in the middle. That's all I want. They're not saying that they don't want to pay. They're not saying that they want women to chase them. A lot of guys are just saying, I want you to meet me in the middle. And I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I think so, too.
So the last thing is talk more, date less. That's my biggest tagline. I say it all the time. Talk more, date less. Before I even tell you what it actually means, I want you to listen to what it says. Talk more, date less. What do you think that means?
Talk more, date less. So take the time to get to know each other before you instead of just,
Got it. That is exactly what it is. And what I've known to be more effective than dating itself is conversation and communication. So before you go out, you know, what people like to do is they like to get into the romantic piece really quickly. So,
right.
you know, I'm attracted to you. You're handsome. You're beautiful. I'm infatuated by it. And I want to get around you. I want to be under you. I want to touch you. I want to have sex with you. All of these things that people get involved in very quickly, those emotions take over logic. So
mm-hmm.
logic is pushed to the
mm-hmm.
logic is pushed to the back and overshadowed by emotion and infatuation. So in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
one of the strategies that I always implore is for people to talk a lot. And that, you know, that can be on the phone, that can be through DM, whatever. But you guys talk to each other and ask tough questions. You know, people are like, oh, well, I don't want to be interviewed. Look, listen, I'm trying to get to know you.
You have to.
And
right.
you get to know me. You have to ask the questions. That's the problem that a lot of people have now is they don't ask.
Uh-huh.
And they're 6 months down the road, they don't know the person. They're like, oh, mm-hmm. what's your name? So that's all. Like, I'm serious. Do you know how many people
yeah.
I've worked with that, you know, literally might not know a person's real name? You know, everybody uses monikers and, you know, aliases
yeah.
and stuff like that. And they won't even know the person's real name. And that's not good. Or how many siblings they have. Or, you know, where they're originally from. Really basic stuff.
And yeah, those are easy things, you know, that just should come
mm-hmm.
up in normal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. It's literally a case of dating more and talking less.
Mm,
so
we jump
into the first date. Now we're on a, you know, we went out for dinner and, you know, all in romantic settings. Because you got to understand, when you take somebody out for dinner, that is a romantic setting. The energy is
yeah.
romantic. So it's, you rarely see people are having really deep conversations about, you know, very difficult to think about stuff on a dinner date. It just doesn't happen. Those are supposed
mm-hmm.
to be fun, you know, enjoyable, so on and so forth. So you save those kind of dates for later. You know, you can go meet at the park.
Agree.
I think Jeff said this earlier. You can go meet at the park. In the beginning, it should just be very basic, just like Jeff said. And it should be very basic where you two are just talking, just really getting to know each other. Shouldn't be a ton of money spent. Just I'm getting to know you. And then once you two agree that this might be a really good fit, so let's take this to the next level. Let's go on a quote unquote real date. I'm going to take you here, and this is what we're going to do. Now you've taken it to the next level, but you have truly established a foundation now. You have a foundation built on communication. You two talk all the time. You know a lot about him. He knows a lot about you. So when you go on that first date, man, it's going to be serious because
yeah.
you two really have a good idea of who's sitting in front of you versus, okay, we go out on the first date and I don't know a whole lot about this person. And then you get surprised by something that they say, something that they do, whatever the case may be. And then you come back to your girlfriends, man, he was terrible. But
right.
if you talk to him, say, I'm just throwing times out there. You can do whatever time you want. But let's just say it's 3 weeks. You guys have been talking for 3 weeks. 3 weeks straight, mm-hmm. just good conversation. Talk every day. You text, you email, you do all of that. And then you finally go out on a date. All that build up, when you get on that first date, it's just a different type of date than if, let's say, I only knew you a week and I'm already out on a date
mm-hmm.
with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are so quick to meet up. We got to meet.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Exactly. And then they act like something's wrong with you because you don't want to hurry up and go
right.
out and meet them that same day. No, you know what? I'm still feeling your vibe, still feeling you out. You can see this is a hot topic for me. You know, can we just wait? No, it is. It is like it's fast forward. Okay, I want to see
yeah,
you now. And you're the one, blah, blah, blah. And I tell Nikki, I'm so tired of that. Because for me, it's important to build a friendship first,
mm-hmm.
and then you see where you go. You know, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm very old-fashioned. I'm very slow on things. I take my time with things. I'm not impulsive with relationships. You know, been there, done that when you're younger. Now at this
right.
age, you want more substance. And
mm-hmm.
hurrying up and taking me out someplace and talking about a future together is I just backed up. I'm like, that's why I reached out to you, Jay. I was like, I don't know what to do because.
You're right. Because, you know, you have to find someone who is, and I keep saying this, and I say a leader. So
mm-hmm.
a man who is a effective leader is going to already have a plan in terms of how he wants his next relationship to go.
Mm-hmm.
So this is before he meets you. Like, you're not even in the picture. This is just how he has planned it in his mind. A man strategizes. A man, you know, comes up with ideas. He's already thinking forward and saying, okay, next one I meet, this is how I would like for it to go. So when he meets you and he starts
mm-hmm.
seeing potential, he's going to say, okay, listen, Mom, I really like you. We've been talking for 3 weeks now, and this is where I can kind of see things going based on what I see so far. Here's what we should do. Bang, 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 A, B, C, D, E, F, G. How do you feel about that? He now has a plan for you, and he's established that plan, and you guys can tweak the plan based on, you know, your conversation, what he tells you. But a man needs to have a plan. If he ain't no plan, then what's the point? Got to have a plan.
Right. Yeah.
Got to have a plan. One of my blogs was about a man knows what he wants from you within 30 days.
Uh-huh.
And now that's just a general number. It could take a little bit longer than that or a little shorter, depending on the guy. But if you guys are seriously talking and seriously going out together, having really in-depth conversations, I would say probably within 30 days, he has an idea of what he sees in you. Not necessarily, you know, is he 100% sure? But he might know, okay, is this going to be my girlfriend? Is this going to
mm-hmm.
be somebody who I just want to have sex with? Is this going to be somebody who I see has wife, you know, she has wife qualities in her? Or is this somebody I can see as just a friend? He knows. Even when a guy says, oh, I'm not sure, when you ask him, where do we stand? Oh, I'm not sure. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
He knows.
Yeah.
He's just not saying it. But
right.
we all know what we want from the women in our life. If there's a woman who is in our life who we're very serious about, we know what we want from her. And a guy who acts like he doesn't know either is probably playing games or he's extremely passive aggressive.
And I don't like passive aggressive.
I think I wanted to go back to really quick when you said to pursuit also. And woman not feeling uncomfortable with it. There is another type that they feel very comfortable with it, and you have to know when you're not vibing with that person and you're not going to make that person be a part of your life. I have friends who are, they frustrate me so much because it's like, he's not into you. Move on. You know, it's a big world. Don't keep trying to force the situation. And they think just because, okay, maybe he got bored one night or whatever, then that means, oh yeah, the rest of the relationship is open up. No, 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 no. You've got to pay attention to actions. I don't listen. I always tell Nikki, I don't listen to a lot of what people are saying. I will listen, but I need to see the actions behind it as well. And that will determine.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's twofold, though, and that's two things that are happening and occurring. One is a woman who is aggressive, and I appreciate a certain level of aggressiveness in a woman, but it's also a man who is being passive. It's not just a woman. Both of them. So it's a woman who hasn't said, look, here's how I feel. And it's a woman who put her feelings out there but doesn't know how to pull back those feelings, because now she's invested so much in someone who's not returning the investment. And she may really like the guy, but he may not like her, and he hasn't said it directly to her. So a guy who doesn't like a guy who doesn't like a woman but sees benefits in that woman being aggressive will continue to use the situation. Now, obviously, that's not all guys. Some guys never do that because, you know, they have integrity and moral convictions that would never allow them to do that. But some guys let that come. You know, she's giving me sex. We have great sex together. You know, we hang out. I can go over to her house, do whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that is a benefit that he's receiving. So why would he let that go? Think about that. Exactly. Why would he let that go?
But too, that's why you don't jump into bed with somebody, because you get to know that person on a totally different level, and you get to know if you really and truly vibe with that person or not. The sex throws everything off. If you start having sex with somebody, that just messes the whole entire thing up from jump. You know, if that's what you want to do, if you want to have that type of relationship, then that's what you do. But if you're trying to build something with somebody, you do not jump into bed with them.
And that's true. I mean, just like what you're saying, Jay, you know, from the beginning, you're setting the tone of the relationship. If you set that tone with all the stuff that's supposed to come later on, and then you wonder why you wind up disappointed time and time again, I mean, you have to look at it and say, okay, let me step back here. And I think it's so important. I hope everybody listens to your podcast about that, about, you know, less dating, more talk, or what is less talk, more less date, more
talk, more date, less.
Yes, there you go.
There you go.
Finally,
talk more, date less.
Yeah.
men are the ones. The problem, and you know, we can talk about this maybe another time, but the problem really is that you know, with the absence of fathers and male figures and leaders that look like us, a lot of men just don't know how to lead. In any situation, but especially with a woman. So therefore, when you bring a woman into the situation and she's being super aggressive, what type of man is just going to allow that? Like, what man allows that? I'm not allowing that, you know, and in my masculine energy, I can't let a woman lead me in that regard. You know what I mean? A man is supposed to establish a tone. It's kind of like in sports. You know, if you're playing basketball in a basketball game, you know, you establish the pace of the game. So we're running up and down the court. That's the pace of the game. I've established that because I'm running up and down the court. I can walk up and down the court. So I've established that pace. Guys have to establish the pace of the relationship. So, okay, here's what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And then get her buy-in. And I'm telling you, most women, if a man steps up and says, okay, here's what I want to do in this situation with us, will fall right in line. Because how often do you get a man that does that?
Right.
Very rarely. Very rarely. Very passive, very laid back. And I get the whole I'm laid back thing that guys say all the time, but that doesn't mean you're not a leader. We have plenty of laid back leaders. So, hell, I'm one of them. I'm pretty laid back, but I know when to to set the tone with my woman. like, hey, here's what we're going to do. And
right.
this is the direction we're going in. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I've laid it out for you. Do you like that? Yeah, that's good. All right, let's go. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and
on our show.
Like, I don't know how to do it.
But he said he's not an expert, y'all. I said, but you say you're not an expert. I'm sorry. He's an expert.
He's a strategist.
He's
through it. He's a strategist.
You are
he's
going
like
to stop me when I'm ready for dating with a purpose. Right now, I think I've kind of pulled back again because I'm just like, I'm overwhelmed. But when I'm ready, Jay, you got to be there for me. Help me through it.
Mm-hmm. Always. And you're in your 30s, and I hate to use age as a baseline, but you know, typically on average, the numbers say when you're in your 30s, you become more serious about relationships. You start looking for more substance than just, you know, the physical or whatever and the superficial. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get to a certain point in your life, it's not really, it's always dating with a purpose, isn't it? You know, it's
right.
like you're not,
right.
there's no other option. Like when you get to a certain age, you're just like, everything is dating with a purpose. Everything is going to be an eventual courtship. Because in the beginning,
right.
you're just getting to know each other, and then you move into courtship. And
mm-hmm.
so at a certain age where a lot of us are in our, you know, our mid to late 30s and 40s, everything is got to be purposeful. And that's not just dating. That's everything in life. There's got to be a purpose for it. I don't have time to sit here wasting my time. So it's going to have a purpose behind it. So if I let a man into my life or I let a woman into my life, I need to see that this is going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's going anywhere, please don't be selfish and try to hold on to me. Say, this isn't going anywhere, and I need you to move on because I need to move on because there's a woman over there who I really like, and there's a guy
mm-hmm.
over there who I really like. But people become selfish, and they say, oh, no, I'm not going to let her go because she's benefiting me in this way, so I'm going to keep her around, and then I'm going to go on the side and find another chick. And I'm going to mess with her.
Right.
I really like her the
right.
most, but I'm going to keep her on the side because she's got a good sex game. That's how it usually goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how it usually goes. But, again, you know, just back to the point, find yourself a leader. And you can tell who a leader is, or maybe, you know, and it's another blog that I'm writing is being able to identify a leader in a man. Because a lot of women don't know how to identify one. So it's not just that he has a great job and he's got a great career. There's so much more to it than that. It's in his character. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'm going to put that blog out in a few weeks and I'll definitely tag you guys to it. And
yeah.
So
okay.
relationships, et cetera. You guys got it.
Jay,
well,
thank you so much. I know we're down to just a couple of minutes, but we are so glad to have you on. You know you are welcome anytime. I am looking forward to you being my dating strategist. There you go, Nikki. I said it. And we'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll get on the show, you know, Mara's journey in dating. Who knows? Because,
it'll be a great book.
The first time around was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what you're doing. This all feels weird. So this will be good. So,
awesome.
Jay, tell them
welcome.
Where they can meet you, real quick. Tell them where they can meet you and the podcast and everything.
So you can visit my website at relationships, plural, et cetera, E-E-T,
mm-hmm.
E-T. ETRA, relationships, etc. com, or you can just go to my Facebook page and you'll find the link there. Or the easiest one to remember is you can go to facebook.com/the J Thomas Project. And the J Thomas Project is essentially all of the different projects that I'm working on for the community, for relationships, dating, love. It's pretty much an intersection of everything today. Or if you want to listen to the season one of my podcast, you can go to spreaker.com/justlisten. That's JUSTLSN.
Okay, great. We definitely
have to do that.
Yeah.
Yes,
definitely. Thank you. And be sure to come back again.
Most definitely.
Yeah, we got a lot more to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Well, this has been another fantastic show. I thank all our guests for making Produce Corner so interesting, so amazing.